Thank you, Brother Tommy. You know, I always tell y'all, you never know what you're going to get to come to Cowboy Church. And then I see a foot stuck up in the air over here. You keep that thing elevated. It's okay. I will tell you, Miss Donna is very pleased. She said, I've been looking all of Laura's life to have control over, and now I just take that cane and threaten to whack that foot, and she straightens right up. So, Lord provides blessing in all different ways, doesn't he, Miss Donna? There you go. Good to have some laughter and humor, without a doubt. Yeah. Lord goes to the zoo and watch the animals, not the four-legged ones. All right. If you will, take and open your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 24. While you're turning to that, I will tell you that I'm very thankful we had the opportunity yesterday to again go, and we celebrated 45 years with some of my fellow classmates and cohorts that went through DPS Academy in 1980. It was hard to believe it's been 45 years. And so we had a good time and a lot of memories and new laughs as well. And you know, I realized something. All them fellas got to be old farts. I was the only young one there. I don't know what the deal was. We left her. I asked Rusty, I said, I look like one of them old farts or what? Them guys aged bad. So anyway, we had a good time. And that was a good, safe travel, and always appreciative of the Lord allowing us to do that. And we remembered some that have already gone on out of our class, but it was a good time to see a lot of the guys we hadn't seen in a while. Some of them get to see every now and then. Some of them it's been 40 years, 45 years. So it was nice to be able to do that. You know you're at a reunion when everybody shakes their hand and gives their name, right? So anyway, then I got to thinking, well, you know, high school-wise, that makes mine 50-something years. Never mind. Anyway. First, 2 Samuel, chapter 24. I'm going to do it a little different here. I won't have you stand yet. We will here in a minute. The title of the message is Giving with a Pure Heart. Now, this is not a message about tithing, so don't take it that way, okay? But it is about giving. We know that we serve a God who is interested in our heart. He doesn't look for our duty, he looks for our heart. And oftentimes, folks believe that, well, I have to go to church, or I have to do this, or I got to do this to please the Lord. It's not what he's looking for. Folks, he's looking for a pure heart that gives because we love him, because we want to. Okay? We see this throughout from the very beginning. Cain gave his first of the crops. So did Abel. And yet God accepted Abel's and not Cain's. And when you read that text in Genesis and you begin to learn it, it was because Cain gave out of obligation. It was one of those, I have to do this. Not because I want to do it. And that carries throughout the Bible. In the New Testament, Jesus, remember, sees those who gave out of their wealth, and he sees the widow that gave the two mites. And remember, he speaks to his disciples, and he says, they gave out of their wealth, she gave all she had. She gave from her heart. And so oftentimes when the Holy Spirit comes and asks us to do things, we're reluctant, we're slow to move, because it requires something from us, our time or whatever it may be. It may be our money. It may be our time. It may just be, well, I'm uncomfortable. with whatever it is. But I'll give you this assurance. You can never outgive the Lord. And no matter what it costs you or I, He replenishes that many times, many folds over. Now, this is not a message of correction that you haven't been doing your part. It's not it. But it is a reminder to each of us that what we give of ourselves because of what He gave. We celebrated Easter. He freely gave Himself to go to that cross. He freely gave Himself that you and I might have the same relationship with His Father. We have that. See, the greatest thing of all is that God is not just Jesus' Father, He's ours. When we accept that gift. Jesus also told His disciples, He said, that each of us would have a cross to bear. Oftentimes that's taken the fact that people think, well, I'm going to have to really give up stuff that I don't want to give up. I'm going to have to do things that I don't want to do because I have to bear a cross. It's not what that verse means. Just as Jesus, yes, had the weight of the cross, He had that longing to follow what the Father had for Him to do, to go and to be our sacrifice. Oftentimes the Holy Spirit puts upon you and I a cross to bear, a sacrifice that we give. And the Lord looks for us to give that freely just as His Son did, with a pure heart. Jesus made the statement, He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Well, those commandments are the same thing from the urging of the Holy Spirit, urging us to do it. It's not in the sense that we normally think about a commandment. You have to do it or there's consequences. There's punishment. It's not it. Scripture also tells us that Paul writes that if we seek the Lord, if we seek wisdom or knowledge, whatever it may be that we seek of Him, He freely gives to all. Not only Paul, but the book of Hebrews tells us that. It's freely given in abundance. He gives liberally, meaning just He wants to give us all that He can. And so the time that you and I spend in our endeavors gives back to Him those things. We can never repay all that we owe. But it's out of our heart, out of our love. And so today, that is what this is about. And in giving this with a pure heart, and David, King David, is our example. So I invite you to stand for 2 Samuel chapter 24. We begin in verse 18 to honor the reading of God's Word if you're able. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 18. Give me just a real quick backstory. So judgment has come upon Jerusalem. David initiated a census, and you have to go back and read the chapters to get it. But basically, God was not in it. It's like we talk about when God's in it, you better grab hold and hang on. But if God's not in it, it will not turn well. And because of the disobedience and the disobedience of the children of Israel, or Jerusalem and all, had suffered a plague. And so we're dropping in at the back end of this story in verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 24. And Gad came that day to David and said to him, go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, a Jebusite. So David, according to the word of the God, went up as the Lord had commanded. Now Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming towards him. So Araunah went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now Arunai said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are the oxen for the burnt sacrifice, and the threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king, Arunai has given to the king." And Arunai said to the king, "May the Lord give your God accept you." Then the king said to Arunai, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer a burnt offering to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered the burnt offering and peace offering. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. You may be seated. While we're looking in Scripture for a moment, you can keep your finger there, but flip over to 1 Chronicles, turn to 1 Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21. What we just read in 2 Samuel is recorded here in Chronicles 21 as well. And it is not, as we look at this, he goes through this again in beginning in verse 21 of 21. And he goes down through here, and again in verse 24, he says, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for full price." And he says, "For I will take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer a burnt offering with that which costs me nothing." The same as what we just heard. Here in 25, it says that David gave Oran, and what we have here is the translation of the two, one in Hebrew, one in Arabic, of 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place, which was the same. It's not a conflict. If you look back in history, the amount of that weight of that gold versus the silver, they equal the same. And David builds an altar and offered the burnt offering and called the Lord, and he answered from heaven, and the altar, and this is the added part, as he gives it in verse 26, he called on the Lord and he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of the burnt offering. David never lit the sacrifice. God did. He shot down fire from heaven that consumed the offering. And so it's in here twice, but two, I wanted you to see the reflection here of also what was here in Chronicles, that God's consuming fire came and picked that up. So how does that apply to you and I? Well, very simply, is the fact that David realized, he said, "I will not give something that cost me nothing." Because he looked at all that and we all know the story of David, of all that he had been through since a young man, and God had used him and desired him to be the king when the people had chose Saul. And you remember that Saul got into the flesh, he chased David, he was trying to kill him, and many a time throughout we see in the writings of the Old Testament where the only refuge and only saving grace that David has was God protecting him. And David, we know, made many mistakes, but yet God would recognize and say, "He is a man after my own heart." Back to that heart, back to it being pure. And so what we learn from here, he said, "I will not offer this offering that I do not pay, that it doesn't cost me something." And yet David was not asking it of himself, but for the people, for what they had been suffering. And so David buys this threshing floor and the oxen. And God is pleased with it, and that he never has to light it and give it. God himself reaches out and brings his consuming fire. That consuming fire, folks, is the same Holy Spirit and fire that he puts in our heart. That burning desire, and we see God's acceptance when we say, okay, Lord, here am I. Let me step out on faith. You see, each and every time that we step out, we know that that exercises our faith. Our faith grows. We have a memory from what has taken place before. It's no different than what we do in the world today, right? There's certain brands that we go and rebuy those same brands because we know it has done so well for us in the past. Or we go to the same dealer because of their customer service. When something went wrong, they were right there and they fixed it. And so we build that allegiance because we have trust that they are going to stand behind whatever it is that we have purchased. God's not any different. He purchased mine and your salvation. He has promised always to us that he is faithful and true, for God cannot lie. And even when we were without recognizing him, he knew us and he recognized us. He had a heart for our well-being. He had a heart of love for us. Jesus had a heart for the Father, a love for him. And because the Father had a love for you and I, his Son Jesus also had that love, even to the point of dying on that cross. And we understand that what he endured up to the point that he went on that cross was horrific, and the cross itself was even more horrific. But he gave it with a pure heart. Remember, he cries out and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Lord promised that he, the Son, would follow through. He would raise him from the dead to live forevermore. The other thing that the Father did for Jesus, his Son, Jesus records, he says, all that the Father has been given to me. You can't outgive the Father. All that Job went through, God replenished everything 100 over of what had been taken from Job. And the same is true for you and I. Because if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we cease to be ourselves. We have to. He then recognizes us as his children, the same as Jesus. We're his brothers and sisters, and those are Christ's words, not mine. And so the Father, again, has a love for us. And he puts the Holy Spirit in our soul, in our heart, that should, in turn, begins to teach us throughout our maturity as a Christian that we, just like Jesus, wanted the same heart that the Father had for us, we begin to have that heart for others. Don't be afraid when that sacrifice of your time, or maybe it's a sacrifice of your monies, or whatever it is that God is asking, he'll replenish it many times over. See, the first thing that you and I come to salvation, yes, it's a free gift, but you and I have to come with an open heart. Think about it for a minute. Scripture tells us, as Paul writes in Romans, and we see there, we have to come, as Jesus said, with childlike faith. Meaning, number one, we have to be willing to give up that we're in control. We make a sacrifice of ourselves. Paul will tell us that. He says, we are living sacrifices. That means we've relinquished our control over our lives and not our will, but we give it to Jesus Christ. We give it to the Father. We sacrifice. That's a pure heart. We said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, that I can never be good enough to be holy and righteous like you. For a lot of folks, you know as well as I do, that's a very difficult thing to do. And some people fight that all of their lives. The problem is, that's going to lead them straight to the path of hell. But if we're willing to sacrifice our own pride, our own self, we know that that pride is what contributed, is the main reason of Lucifer being kicked out of heaven for the chaos that ensued, because it was his will, not God's will. He was not willing to sacrifice of himself. You see, it comes with a cost. When Jesus says we each have a cross to bear, that's the cross he's talking about, a desire to be fully acceptable in the presence of a holy God. I can't get there on my own. None of us can. And so therefore our desire is to have Jesus Christ and also to grow to be more like him. That should be our own, each and every one of our desires, to be more like Christ every day that he gives us time on this earth. To have a heart that he had. To have the eyes to see people not as what we see them there, but what the potential is if they come to know Jesus Christ. The potential he saw in this old boy, not for what I was, but for what he could make it be. And each and every day, if we have that pure heart, we literally open up our lives as open sacrifices, as Paul said. Does it cost us? Yeah. It costs me because I start looking, Lord, the first thing it does is make me question, Lord, is this of you or is it just what I want? It can't be what I want. And this ties into a whole bunch of sermons and messages that we've had about keeping our eyes fixed on him, having daily conversations with him. You know, I can't know Royce if I've never talked to her. I can't know to any one of you if I've never talked to you and to know what you actually desire. Even in the physical world, somebody's birthday or Christmas, any of you ever felt that way? And go, I just don't know what to get them this year. So finally, if it's, you know, dogs us enough, we have to go and go, what do you want for Christmas or your birthday? I always feel for Royce, but my answer is, I don't know. I don't really need anything. But I'm being truthful. You know why I can say I don't need anything? Because I believe what I tell you. God's given me everything. He's given me a family. He's given me a church family. He's given me a job. Everything that I have is not mine. It is his. The cost, I had to open up and allow him to do it. His will, not my will. And I ain't perfect, despite what I would like for you to believe. I'm not. I'll admit that. See, have to give up that pride. Even though I might tease and joke and tell you I am, I ain't. When I take my eyes off of him and allow self to come into that heart, I begin to quench that spirit. And just as the consuming fire, as we read here in Chronicles, came down and absorbed that sacrifice, folks, the same God will do the same thing when we sacrifice whatever it is to our heart. He'll put that fire in it that gives us that feeling, gives us that comfort, that peace, to know we're following what God desired. And the greater thing, we'll start seeing the ramifications of that giving in our own lives as well as in others. Giving with that pure heart. Not out of obligation, but because we desired to please our Heavenly Father. Because we desired to follow in the steps and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's the repayment he asks for all that he has given us. And in turn, he gives more and more. We literally begin to draw closer to him. We literally, when it speaks about seeking his face, we literally begin to transform from who we are into what God wants us to be. Whatever it is that you do, do it with a pure heart. Do it at His prompting. Oftentimes visitors come and say, well, y'all never pass the plate. Nope. And I've never preached on tithing. The bucket's there. You give what God tells you to do. It's not for me to push it. We have people throughout this church that have willingly give of themselves. The ladies' ministry, the jail ministry, the elders. No one gets paid. Our payment is from Him. Our musicians come. We try to make sure we cover their cost. I assure you it costs them a lot more. But they freely give it. Our Sunday school teachers. Our ladies and guys, when we have meals, provide food. It's all about the heart. We serve a God that is about our heart. And although men can never fix those failing hearts, God will always fix a heart if we allow Him to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.